Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey, a journey that, Roger, brings us to a new month and a new theme.
It sure does. We love doing themes on Fridays because it just kind of gives us an idea of what each week's going to be and kind of gives us time to stretch these out and talk about lots of things. And so the month of June, we want to talk about the seasons in David's life. David is probably one of the most powerful men in the Bible and king of Israel, and there's lots of things we see. We usually just jump right off with David and Goliath, and there we go. But there's some lessons to learn even before David and Goliath, and so we're going to talk about that. You know, June is a month when school's out and it's vacation time and lots of things going on. Our schedule's a little bit different in the summer sometimes. And what we find is that we all have seasons in our life. There's a period of your life you look back and you were single. There's a period when you were dating or you got married and then you had little children. Then your children were in school age and then the children moved out. And you know, there's all these different periods of time in our life. And I believe God prepares us for each of those. I think God gives us unique opportunities and unique things in those, each one of those seasons of our life. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to talk about David's time with Saul and kind of those desperate years when Saul was chasing him about the countryside. We're going to talk about the royal years when David was the king and mighty things he did. And we're going to talk about the preparation years when David was at the end of his life and he wanted to build the temple, but God wouldn't let him. So he made all the preparations for the one who would follow him to do that. But to kick this off, we want to talk today about the shepherd years. It's one of my favorite lessons. It's David before he really hits on the national scene. And what we're going to look in this lesson is a lot of things that David was doing as a young shepherd in those Judean hills prepared him to be the king that God wanted him to be. There was a heart there.
Yeah, and if our listeners get nothing else from this introductory episode, what we hope really comes through loud and clear. Whatever season you are in, don't waste that season. Like you said, Roger, it's easy for us when we think of David to immediately think of him being the king or immediately thinking of that great showdown with Goliath. But the reason that David was well equipped to serve God and God's people in those seasons, he didn't waste the season he was in when he was just a lowly shepherd of his father's sheep.
So let's do a little background here and kind of fill in some gaps. It begins in 1 Samuel 16, and we'd really encourage you to look at that section there. God did not just randomly roll some dice up in heaven and just say, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I picked David. There were some things in David's life that God saw and God noticed. Chapter 16 begins in verse 1 as he tells Samuel, I have selected a king for myself. He says in verse 3, you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. He says in verse 7, for God sees not as a man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Verse 12, and the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So we put all those verses together. God had chosen David. There was something in David's life that stood out with God. Now, from the context, what we understand in 1 Samuel 16, that's the first time we really read about David. There, he just kind of comes on the scene there. And I believe on the surface, there's nothing there to really impress us. There's nothing there that says, you know what, this guy someday is going to be the king of Israel. It doesn't say he was all-star in a team. Doesn't say he was academic. He was just a teenage shepherd out there with the sheep. And that's how he's presented to us. David's father, Jesse, most likely was a very common man. We get that because men of substance would usually have servants out there with the sheep. Now, the sheep were out there in the fields. they're not in the pasture and just next door to the house, and every night the guy comes in and sleeps in his bed. No, he's way out in the field. While the family's in the house, he's out there with the sheep. So where the sheep are, that's where the shepherd is. So the shepherd's going to be there night and day. He's going to bathe in the creek. He's going to deal with the heat. He's going to deal with the bugs. He's going to deal with animals and all kinds of things. That's where we find young David at this time.
Yeah, in fact, in the next chapter, 1 Samuel 17, in a different context that we'll talk about here in just a moment, we hear David in his own words. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34, he says, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father." He's speaking of himself. He's talking to King Saul. "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears." And so, you know, this is not an easy, dreamy, romantic sort of, well, you know, I'm just laying on my back on a rolling full of grass hillside, and, you know, I've got my hands behind my head, and just, boy, am I living the life. This was a hard life.
It was, and Jesse, being kind of the common man, it's very easy to understand that probably each of the boys started off being a shepherd. And then when the boy under him became old enough, it was his turn. And then the next one. Then we get down to David. There's no more boys after David. He's the last one. And this is not just a 9-to-5 job. This is out there with the sheep all the time. Alone, a thankless job. A job that could seem to be long, long hours, could be some kind of boring. And this may be exactly where you are right now. It could be the high school years, and you can't wait to get done with the high school years. Could be college, and you're just up to your eyeballs in studies. You wish you had your diploma. You wish it was over. It could be the times when you're single, and you wish you were married. It could be the night shift years, and you're having to work those nights, and you hate working those nights. And it's not the favorite period of our life, and we just can't wait to get to the next section of our life, get done with these sheep where I can move on to something else. But it's during this period of time that David was doing things that God noticed.
All right, so let's see if we can't use our practical imaginations for a moment. We've encouraged from the very beginning of this episode, okay, don't waste the season you're in. Roger, are there any hints as to how David might have made the most of this season when maybe he's the only one out there? And, okay, a lion or a bear comes along and takes one of these sheep, and he's got a choice in that moment of time. Do I just subscribe that one as lost and, you know, hope my dad doesn't keep very close count of how many sheep I came out here with, or do I go after that? What might David have done during this lonely, obscure season of life?
Well, the first thing is he wasn't alone, because I think a lot of the Psalms were written during his time period. And we see a great heart that's connected to the Lord, a great faith in the Lord. And when he's faced with that lion and that bear, we see courage. He was responsible for those sheep. Now, sheep aren't going to thank you. Sheep aren't going to give you a good job performance at the end of the shift. It's just what you do. But he realized that was his job. He was the man in line between the sheep and danger. So it was up to him to lead them, up to him to protect them, up to him to do that job. Many, many years later, God will pull from this in the book of Psalms and said, "You have shepherded sheep. Now I want you to shepherd my people." Yeah. And what God was looking at is, here's somebody who cared about the sheep, cared more about the sheep than himself. I mean, I dare say I've been Mr. Roger out there, and I saw a lion and a bear. I said, "See you, sheep." I'd probably ask the lion and bear, "Do you want some ketchup or barbecue sauce? Because I'm out of here." You know, I mean, you got to think about your own life. David didn't. David put himself behind all that. great courage, great faith in the Lord, great devotion to what he was doing. And so during this time period, that's what's being developed. It's also interesting, again, so different than our times today. A young man out there today would have his iPod, he'd have his phone, he'd have all kinds of stuff to keep him busy. Not David. All he had was his harp. But what did he do? He played and he played and he played his harp. Years later, that would be the bridge that God would build to get him into the palace. What does a teenager know about military? What does a teenager know about running governments? Sheep aren't going to help you that. But it's through that harp that later on, God's going to have him play before King Saul in the palace. What's he going to see in the palace? He's going to hear how a king leads. He's going to see how a king directs him. He's going to learn things. And there's that. So what David was doing, he would never have dreamed 20 years from now, I will be using these things later on. God was seeing those things. And so the lesson for us as we begin developing this is where you are today, you may be summer between semesters in college and maybe summer break from high school or whatever you are in life. You may think, well, you know what, I'm just wasting this time. This is not a good period in my life. Who knows what God sees 20 years down your road for you?
Yeah, I love the statement in the relatively obscure Old Testament book of Zechariah 4:10, where God tells his people, don't despise the day of small things. You know, lots of us like the idea of, okay, you know, being able to tell the story of being a hero on a field of battle and slaying a giant when all of these other veteran soldiers were hiding in their tents. And even King Saul is unwilling to go out and face Goliath. We like the idea of being celebrated by the entire nation, or like the idea of being king, you know, the top of the ladder, the one in charge. We like the idea of being able to write something that people will remember and maybe even be helped by for generations and generations. But the reason that David comes to be all of that, of course, is number one, God had a plan and David was open to that plan. But number two, David was faithful in the small things. You know, I read earlier from 1 Samuel 17 where he says to King Saul, your servant used to keep these sheep for his father, and when a lion or a bear would come along, I would strike him down. What I didn't read was the rest of his statement. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. Well, how did David speak with such confidence? In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37, he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Those quiet, dark, obscure moments out on the dark hills outside of Bethlehem prepared David for something great.
So those summer jobs you may not like, a roommate you may not be able to stand, having to share bathrooms with brother and sister, having to share a car with somebody in the family, those are all things that kind of annoy us. And we kind of daydream, wish I could just get to the next part of my life when I don't have to deal with those things. They're teaching you lessons.
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine, especially if you're one of our younger listeners, that, you know, someday I may be a parent of a teenager. Someday my name may come up before a congregation to serve as a shepherd. Someday I may be preaching God's word before a vast crowd. And what you're doing today, you can't even see those things. The places the Lord has taken me and allowed me to preach. Remember one time standing on a rooftop in India, pitch black, and just a massive crowd down below me. I had no idea how many people were there. And there I was speaking God's word. I would have never, ever thought that could ever happen. But again, what you do, and your shepherd ears can prepare you for those things.
Yeah, I would really encourage our even young couples. Roger, you and I were talking before we hit the record button. It is easy for young couples. Maybe, you know, you got a guest speaker coming in and a meal list goes up. And it's really easy to think, well, we don't have much. We've just got an apartment and a card table and a couple of folding chairs. When we get a place of our own, we'll show hospitality. Or then, well, you know, we've got a dining room of our own, but we sure can't afford very much food at all. When we've got a little more, when we've got more space. But you and I both have had some of the most enjoyable times around the most common of tables with the most common, ordinary food. But it's the hearts of the people who are sharing that with you that makes it special.
And see, I can go back. I can remember sitting in this little apartment. I was actually sitting on the box. They didn't have enough chairs. I was sitting on the box. We were eating bologna sandwiches. They kept apologizing. It was just wonderful. And today, to know that couple is still serving the Lord, he's serving as one of the shepherds in God's churches, and to see that's what happens. If you're always putting off to the next season, well, you know, we got little kids right now, and this is not a good time. Maybe when they're older, you kick it that can to the next season. Then you kick it to the next season. And what you find out is you kicked your can all life, but you've never done anything. And we need to learn to do things wherever we are in the season that we are. So some wrap-up points here about this first session here about David and the shepherd ears. Who you are is more important than where you are. Where was David? He was out in the hills of Judea. But what was he? He was a man that God had recognized and God looked at his heart. God didn't see in David what he saw in his other brothers. I mean, I think all his other brothers had been out there one time in their lives, and God didn't see anything there. But when he looked at David, he saw something. Who you are, whether it's in school, whether it's a summer job, whether it's a young parent, whether it's in your apartment, who you are is more important than where you are. Secondly, what you do is more important than what you have. What are you doing right now for the Lord? And again, we sometimes excuse ourselves. Well, I just don't have much, or I don't know much, and we just kind of find an excuse to hide behind. But who you are and what you do is more important than what you have. And thirdly, where you're going is more important than where you've been. And God had some big plans for David. It's interesting, when David becomes king, every king after him is measured by David. King like David, a king like David, because he is such a righteous and godly man. And that didn't happen the day he became king. It wasn't when they put the crown on him and he's sitting in the palace, they flipped the switches. Well, I better step up my game now. His game had been stepped up as he began all that on those hills of Judea, simply being a shepherd.
It would have been really easy for him to feel really small, with really small things in his hands. But a big God knew exactly where he was and how to use him for the good of other people and God's ultimate glory. Don't despise the days, the seasons of small things. Don't waste the season you're in. Now, Roger, there are several other powerful lessons from other seasons of David's life. We've talked about those obscure shepherding years. Lord willing, next Friday, we'll talk about the fugitive years when David, even though he is functioning as a person of great faith and of great courage, life doesn't get easier. Life gets tougher. But even there are lessons from that season of David's life. We appreciate you joining us for the kickoff of this new little series for the month of June. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Maybe you know a young person that you would love not for them to waste this season of summer. Maybe this little series would be the perfect thing to share with them. We hope and pray that that's the case. We are always so encouraged by those of you who share these basic lessons for others. Thank you for the encouragement that you give to us. And always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.